Well, welcome everyone.
Recording in progress.
Welcome to the regular council meeting of December 13th, 2022, at the caucus. And Debbie, will you please call the roll?
Grindel?
Here.
DeGeronimo?
Here.
Narduzzi?
Here.
Tagliani?
Here.
Tracus?
Present.
Laverca?
Here.
Fontanelli?
Here.
We've already done some dialogue regarding the agenda tonight and everything, but we'll start our discussion with on page two, the second reading, ordinance number 2022-152. It's an ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into an agreement with the International Association of Firefighters, Local 2375, AFL-CIO, contract from 2022 through 2024. And it was, again, we basically wanted to have a contract. Jim, I think you requested that too.
Thank you.
And so we're verifying what the fact finder, any other questions regarding this? We'll vote on that this evening. It's on second reading, so it's not part of a consent agenda. Ordinance number 2022-158 on second reading, going to be removed, right? It'll be removed from tonight's agenda. It'll be reintroduced in January. We go to first reading, ordinance number 2022-162. It's ordinance authorizing the retention of James G. Zupka, CPA, doing business as Zupka and Associates, to serve as the city's independent public accountant to perform the audits of the city for fiscal years 2022 through 2026, a five-year contract in an amount not to exceed $126,980. I know Vern, you gave us extensive, you know, paper describing this and everything. I guess there were five, public accounting firms that were qualified that bid on this. I think the
correct.
And this is the one that scored the best and was by the state auditor has recommended.
Correct. Not recommended. They awarded the contract to us, so it's kind of a formality. Because we have to authorize the spending of the money for it.
And I see the firm that did it previous to the in-house was done this year. They were the highest. I mean, I saw the amount that they charged was almost double to what Zupka Associates would charge.
Shows you what you get when you bid things out. You separate things out, yes.
And they scored, I mean, Zupka scored the best, and I think the other one, although they were all very close, they scored the worst, I think. Not that they were bad, but they teams did.
Correct.
Very good. Any questions for Vern on this?
Just curious, Vern, did we participate in all the bidding process, or was it all run by the categories and the awarding points?
All run by the state auditor's office. There was a pre-bidding conference where interested bidders could ask questions of Maggie Dennis and myself, but that was pretty much the extent of the city's involvement.
Was that done previously with that when we had the other firm that did for
now? It was before my time because it was they were 10 years, so they extended it. So if that had occurred years before,
I don't recall that being bid out by the auditor. Yes, the auditor.
I remember that piece of legislation that came in through the previous finance director.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a heads up, this is the actual audit. We've always contracted out with the state auditor's office to do our gap conversion, converting our cash basis statements to accrual. And the auditor's office is just, you know, they're having staffing issues too, but they notified entities all over the state of Ohio that they would not be able to perform that service for everybody like they did in the past. We paid for it, but even paying for it, they don't have the in-house capability to keep doing that. So we're now in the process of soliciting proposals to have that service done, and we'll bring that to you in January or February.
Very good. Thank you. Any other questions? Any problem putting this on the consent agenda for this evening? Okay, thank you, Vern.
Thank you, Vice Mayor.
Ordinance number 2022-163. is ordinance authorizing the renewal of the contract with Ports Petroleum Company, Inc. for the purchase and delivery of unleaded fuel and diesel fuel for city vehicles through the Joint Municipal Improvement Consortium. And we got your memo on this. You want to expound?
Yes, good evening, everyone. Basically, it's a renewal option we had after discussions with the director, McKinley. He felt that it warranted renewing. I'd just like to point out a couple of, I guess, the industry trend for this. Okay, in 2020, the city spent $183,000 for diesel and unleaded gasoline. 2021, we spent $241,000. And as of yesterday, we spent $390,000 on fuel for city vehicles. As you can tell, it's a trend that's moving upward. As a matter of fact, we probably anticipate spending this year. There's two other deliveries that we received in the area of about 425 to 430. The pricing is based off an index, and it's OPIS, it's Oil Price Information Services, and it's a commodity index, and then there's a differential that's added to the price. But it's still, the price that the city is charged is what the average is for that day of delivery. So it's the OPIS daily average price the city pays. And we do have access to OPIS to justify or to match up the price that we're charged to find out what was the actual price average that day.
Dennis, do you want to tell them how much we spend in 2021 and year to date 2022 in the aggregate for fuel?
Right, that's correct. And like I said, in 2020 we spent $183,000, 21 we spent $241,000, and this year so far through December 12th we spent $390,000, and we anticipate two other deliveries, so we'll probably spend, $425,000 to $430,000.
Dennis, how much of that is diesel?
I don't have it broken down by the by what percentage is diesel and what percent is
at least regular gas has started to come down, but diesel hasn't come down in a commensurate manner.
Is this you mentioned about that it's a we have an option for another year. Is that we're exercising that option now? Is that an option for 2024?
It is the option for 23. The contract runs January 1st through December 31st of 23.
So they'll bid out new next year, right?
That is correct.
Dennis, if I remember correctly, last year we had to revisit this after we had approved it because there was a slight surcharge for the smaller delivery size.
The other vendor did not offer tank wagon deliveries, which is a smaller size delivery. And we would have had to take a full tanker, and we don't have that capacity in our tanks.
Do we have that capacity now with the new RODOC facility and those tanks?
I believe not, because the tank down there is 6,000 gallons, and I think a full tanker was like 7,500 to 8,000.
I thought it was 10,000.
Is it 10,000?
If it is 10,000, could we just get the tanker loads?
No, the tank down at ODOT holds 6,000.
6,000.
Yes.
So if we take 5,000 there and then 2,500 in our other tanks.
No, they won't split deliveries.
Really? Well, then maybe when we rebid it, we'll have to look at it, because they do for us in private sector.
Okay. Unfortunately, I wasn't. This was bid through the consortium, and we're kind of under their.
We should have a provision put in the next bid, maybe, that you're allowed one split within a certain mile radius.
Okay.
Is that through Brexville, or that?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, if it's within, I think it's within what we do is within a couple miles. If you take a tanker load, one split.
But okay, I think when this contract was probably awarded, I don't know if we had UDOT property.
We didn't have that capacity, right? That's right. You're correct.
Any other questions for Dennis? Any problem putting this on the consent agenda this evening? Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you.
Ordinance number 2022-163 will be placed on the consent agenda. Ordinance number...
I have a question.
Oh, yeah, Chris.
If we're paying that cost, if we're paying that cost, have we looked into putting a bigger tank at the service station so we can get that?
We'll talk about that at the strategic planning session.
Yeah.
Thank you.
First item. Very good. We move on to ordinance number 2022-164. It's on page 3 of the agenda. It's an ordinance authorizing change order number 1 to the city's 2022 creek detailing and infrastructure maintenance and repairs contract with Geotech Services Inc. In an additional amount not to exceed $300,000 and a total contract amount not to exceed $625,536. Don, I know you provided us with the memo on this, if you wish to.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, our current contract with both Geotech and CATS for creek maintenance were authorized in April, and they were issued notice to proceed in May. So they're 12-month continuous running contracts, so they're still current and active through the next 4 months into 2023. We have expended the contract value to date with Geotech, and all we're here looking to do is obtain some additional funding that was appropriated in the 2023 budget. There's about $400,000, no, $425,000, I believe, is what's currently set up for the creek maintenance, and I am requesting and recommending that $300,000 of it be allocated to Geotech, and we will likely be back in front of you requesting the same sort of change order for CATS. They're a little bit further behind in work and in expending the funds that were authorized for them. So right now, though, our Geotech is out of the funds and is in need of additional funds. We'd like to keep them working through the winter on work that's needed and while crews are available.
And how much did we appropriate those $425,000 or last year?
Well, for this coming year, 2023, but if we're going to try to put this on the books this year, we don't have $300,000 available, so I made a comment run in that appropriation amendment next month. Next week, we'll fit that in with an amendment.
Very good. So it'll be covered by both appropriation measures for next week?
Correct.
And how much have we expended with CATS construction through this contract?
It's a lot less. They just got late to start on work, and but they are actively working on it and starting to get more into the funds. So
we had $200,000 ago.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't have a number. The invoicing hasn't been submitted yet. That's how recent the work is going.
No, we'd be coming next year, like January, February for CATS.
Potentially, yes. Because I see how the invoice is coming for the work that's being performed. That would be the thought. And then both these contracts do come with the one-year option, so it's likely that come May, on the May agenda, I might be requesting, if both contractors are amenable to hold their prices for an additional year, we could have another change order request to extend the contract a whole another, an additional 12 months.
Until 2024.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Don, when they're individual jobs, do they each bid them, or do you just select?
So when like emergency councilman, when emergencies come up, we do get both contractors to give us pricing to get an apples and apples comparison. There are a bunch of alternate bids that were part of the bid, and when we pull the trigger on any one of those, we look to the lowest price. And then in this particular instance, Geotech was low on 25 of 28 alternate bids. So therefore, the likelihood is that it would be work performed by Geotech, and that's why one of the reasons why I'm asking for the lion's share of funding appropriation for Geotech.
So CATS just has to get a sharper pencil then?
You know, CATS, they each have their strengths, and CATS handles more of the roadway infrastructure, utility excavations. They're lined up better for that versus Geotech is specialized highly in some of the creek work, gabion basket work, and unique projects, terrain challenge, so they each have their strengths. Thank you.
Any other questions for Don? Any problems with the, on the consent agenda this evening? We will do so. Ordinance number 2022-164 will be placed on the consent agenda. We've removed from the agenda item 2022-165 and 2022-166. These are the appropriation ordinances. The first one is for 2022, the second for 2023. That'll be the subject of the agenda for our meeting, special council meeting, 9 o'clock on December 20th, next Tuesday. Ordinance number 2022-167 is ordinance amending section 1181.06, schedule required off-street parking of the codified ordinances of the City of Independence relating to off-street parking and loading requirements. We all received the memo from Mike that provided to us. And this is going to be kept on first reading this evening. And there'll be a public hearing set for
January 10th.
January 10th on this matter.
Prior to caucus.
Prior to the caucus. Probably 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock or 4:30?
Depends on the size of the agenda, I think. But
yeah, we'll have to.
What's the preference for council? Would you rather have the public at 4:30 so that our caucus will begin at 5 or so? Or would you want to have the public hearing at 5 and start the caucus?
Whatever we do, we should start right after the
after
the public hearing.
I would think the later the better so the public can participate since it is a public hearing.
Let's do 5 o'clock then. 5 o'clock's fine.
Yeah.
I will put the ad in the paper.
So we'll just have the first reading of that ordinance at tonight's meeting.
Dave, just a quick comment. A number of the different areas had a reduction in requirements, but strangely enough, the churches had an increase. That just seems.
Yeah, I found that.
I thought that was odd.
Of course, there's not many people coming to church these days, so. Parking is plentiful, at least St. Michael's is, and for the new mass that we went to.
And it's a 36% increase for churches.
So, Michael, right?
Let's see if they can elaborate that on the public hearing.
Yeah, I found that because the others were reduced, and this was increasing that.
Oddly enough, other communities have that higher rate.
Very good. And how many, you looked at about 11 communities, was it right? Or?
I think it was 13 overall.
And very good. Well, we'll get into that, the public hearing next month, and Mike will go into his extensive research on that. The last few months. So very good, Mike. We'll get into that in January. Jim?
Yeah, just along those lines, for the public hearing, please make sure we notify our religious community. We've got a number of churches here in town that they might want to be aware of this. I presume we talked to them, but if there's going to be a public hearing, they may want to be present at it just so that they know what's going on. And I believe we have a few churches that are in the planning phases as well to build new churches.
Councilman Drake, just keep in mind this is not a retroactive type of work.
Future construction.
So it would not affect any of the existing facilities currently in the city.
I think you understand that we might have some expertise that we don't that might be helpful.
Yeah, the other problem is it's potentially making it more difficult for other different churches, different religions. So that might be viewed as unfavorable.
We'll get into more and more detail next month. Mike, you've done your study with other communities and everything too, what we currently have. So we'll get into that in more detail next month. Ordinance number 2022-168. This ordinance authorized the mayor to enter into an agreement with the Fraternal Order of Police Lodge number 67. The first one is the Patrol Officers Unit. And Mary, you shared that information with us. I think.
Yes, at the more recent meeting. Yeah. Both parties, neither party took action, resulting in an agreement, and so it's before you today.
And we had that information. Was it a Tuesday meeting that you had?
Yeah, last
executive session.
executive session.
So we've had that information.
Yeah.
Any questions regarding that? Any part on the consent agenda this evening? Likewise, ordinance number 2022-169 is a companion piece of legislation. This is the ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into an agreement with Fraternal Order of Police Lodge number 67, the supervisor's unit. And we'll place that on the consent agenda this evening. Resolution number 2022-26, it's resolution amending resolution 2022-13 relative to extraordinary legal services commencing January 2nd, 2022. And I think we all received Greg's letters on this, and to me, I think
it would be effective 2023.
2023, correct.
And do we have a total amount that we've spent on legal services this year?
I think, Vern, you provided that for us.
Out of that account, I did not break it out of some of the other funds, the TIP funds, but if that's desired, it could be obtained.
And how much was out of that account that you speak of?
Through October, it was $362,000, and $500,000 had been appropriated. 2021, it was $438,000, and the same amount had been appropriated. The appropriation had changed from 22, and then the proposed appropriation for 23 is also $500,000.
So we've been under the appropriation.
Yeah, it's been averaging about $40,000 a month or so.
If you back out the two pieces, or the one piece of litigation, I think substantially lower loss.
And the other law firm that we entered into a contract with for economic development purposes, did we utilize them?
We utilized them for Mancher Gavin. We utilized them for the Concordia purchase agreement.
And did we have a not to exceed with them, or did we have?
Yeah, I think council approved that for not to exceed, was it a 50 or 100,000?
Yeah, I think it's 50. It's 100 over the course of 2 years or something. Okay.
So you can utilize them here just the one time. Any other questions? Either.
When was the last time that we had an increase in that category?
Well, I think Councilperson Reverka, it was in when the mayor first took office, and I think we requested a slight increase, but as I set forth in my letter, out of the thousands of clients that TAP has with the law firms or the offices has in the Midwest, there's not a single client I could find that has this type of relationship at such a low hourly rate. And so, in fact, when the powers that be came to me and said, hey, we need to get some sense to this relationship, but we understand we've been together for 50 years and there is history here, we talked about it. And the arrangement was made, the request was made much higher. But I told them in the spirit of history here that this is what I would go back to the city and request. And I provided our standard rates in there, which are going up candidly as of January 1st. And so those rates I gave you aren't even accurate anymore. They're actually increased since I wrote that letter.
And how do these rates compare to the Mancer Gavin Economic Development Law Firm rates?
Similar, the existing is similar.
And I would just say this, and it came up in the other conversation. You utilize TAP for tax on a sophisticated level. You utilize TAP for tips. Very few law firms even have that resource. Mancer Gavin doesn't, to my knowledge. use it for specialized labor. Most every lawyer in our firm, every lawyer in our firm either graduated in the top 10% of their class or came lateral from larger firms. And I think that one aspect councilperson have that I would ask you to look at, all in, you'd have to hire different law firms to get answers to different questions. I think TAP provides this unique relationship, but one thing that the city has successfully experienced, for lack of a better word, over the last 50 years, is that you've grown with our law firm, and so we have that sophistication level to answer every single question that the city could possibly have at any given time. You would have to go outside to find expertise in labor and employment. I know you'd have to go outside for most tax, because most law firms don't have a tax department. TIF, I'm probably missing a couple of those.
And you have a real estate department as well, correct?
But, yes, and very good real estate department.
But if we're viewing the Concordia purchase as an economic development opportunity rather than a real estate opportunity?
It's a combination, it's real estate.
Greg, one other question, not directly related to the fees for lawyers, but explain to me, because I unfortunately have not had to have the service of a lot of lawyers in my life, the rates of the paraprofessionals compared to the lawyers. Is that balanced that way? I mean, that strikes me as being kind of, I was surprised the paraprofessionals' rate was so close to the lawyers' rate.
Well, I don't believe that the city really uses our paraprofessionals except for specifically in real estate, which we have very little. So I can't think of a situation, maybe workers' comp, a few cases we have those. Other than that, I can't imagine. But yeah, the paraprofessionals, their certification, their education, and their training, I wouldn't say they're one step away from a new associate, but at least the ones at our firm are highly sought after. Once we have an opening, we don't even advertise in the paralegal. Somebody usually comes from a larger firm to our firm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I work with Ben Streetlander and Kelly Halter in my career, and these rates are lower than their rates. We paid out just in a business transaction I'm working on now, at $400 an hour for business law. So I think the rates are reasonable and under market. And that's hard to say because we don't always have to deal in that world, but they would be under market for what I've seen in the business community. You got to remember that there's a large consolidation of law firms. And so as firms are getting bigger all across the country, they're doing more things overseas. So to be able to have a firm of this caliber and quality and do it for this price point, while you and I don't work for that price point, this is less than the going rate that I've seen in Cleveland, not nationwide, but here in Cleveland.
Well, to echo that, and if you look at our email address, our firm is precisely what Councilperson Trick has said. We will grow from a little under 600 lawyers in 2 weeks to over 870 lawyers. You're a very sophisticated community. I'm proud to be the law director. I've always said I'll do this as long as you want me to do it, as long as the majority of council and the mayor have confidence. You're a very sophisticated platform, very sophisticated community. But I don't know of any other, we do represent the city of Chicago. And believe me, their rates are much, much higher than yours. It's public record, so I can find them out for you. But I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing that we represent the city of Chicago. But
it wouldn't be a lot of people.
But I will say that you've grown with us and you've had the benefit of having that expertise.
Well, I just want to make perfectly clear that I'm operating from a fortunate situation of not having to hire lawyers in the past. So that's the whole reason that I'm getting an education. So I do appreciate it.
Steve O'Brien, and we've had really only a very few number of law directors there over the years through your firm.
Three
law directors.
From our firm.
Mayor Kelly.
A couple of years, yeah, 2 years.
We had Mayor Kelly the first.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, three. Walter Kelly, Steve O'Brien, no relation.
Yeah.
And so, me.
Take that as, you just take that as a compliment, though.
Right.
And it's your brother, right?
I actually started under.
Or your dad, or your dad.
So the fact that we have just, you know, so few people have been in that position to guide us, I mean, that the historical perspective, I mean, with you, you know, your knowledge of the city is great, or greater probably than any of the other council, because we're here for a short time, and then we're, you know, we're off and everything. Fortunately, Greg's been here a long time, and Anthony was here, and Fred was here, and I think they all had the confidence, you know, you're truly professional, you don't play, you know, political, your wishes is for give the best legal advice of the city possible, and that's why I appreciate that. We haven't had 15 law directors over the period of time with varying, you know, degrees of competency and everything. We've always had really good competent attorneys, so.
And I remember when Mayor Tavish was here, they had a different law director, and we got some big trouble. So we had to bring Walter Kelly back and undo some of that trouble. So it doesn't matter who you have in the chair giving advice.
Yeah. Any other questions, Greg?
I think that's enough, so the price don't go up. All right.
I appreciate Greg's time.
Hurry up, the price is going up.
Not enough.
And we can put this on the consent agenda too. It's a resolution. I think that's fine. Very good. And the last piece of legislation that we'll have tonight's agenda is Resolution 2022-27. It's a resolution authorizing Daniel Anders to retain possession of his firearm and badge of office upon retirement. And that we've done for a number of our.
We'll follow the agenda because I think these people want to talk and stuff. So after we do the legislation, we'll close the meeting and then I'll just say, you know, just a.
Did he already keep his badge and gun?
He did. We thought it was included. As I stated, I've been here for a couple months. When he retired, that was before I really got settled. So this was put on as before, and I missed that. So when Kurtz and him retired at the same time, Kurtz kept his, and so did Dan. So we thought that was formalized, and it was just brought to our attention that we needed to get this formalized now.
Thank you, Chief.
He just wants a copy for his records.
Thank you. We'll place this on the consent agenda. Do we want to discuss the mayor now that the Laker permit transfer, or do you want to do it at the regular meeting?
Probably the regular meeting.
Regular meeting, okay.
I think that'd be appropriate.
Then I will turn the meeting over to you, sir.
Okay. Can everyone start speaking into their mic, please? I've had some.
Okay, good evening. I'll wait for Debbie. Don't wait for Debbie? Okay. Good evening. We have the regular meeting of council of December 13th, 2022. Clerk will call the roll.
Brendel.
I have to wait for you.
Here.
DiGeronimo.
Here.
Narduzzi.
Here.
Tagliati.
Here.
Trakas.
Present.
Viverca.
Here.
Walt Channels.
Here.
Let's see. We have prayer this evening is by Pastor Lisa Thomas of the United Methodist Church. Lisa, please.
One of them possessing their own unique gifts, talents, talents, and strengths. I thank you, Lord, for every single one of them. What a blessing they are to this community. Lord, please watch over them as they make decisions tonight. Guide them in a way that honors you and the people that they serve. Grant them the wisdom and the courage to know and to do what is right and good and true. Remind them that they are in the position to serve, not to be served, to represent their neighbors, not to contradict them, to uphold justice, not to impede it, and above all else, to be a person of integrity that knows the power they possess and uses it for the good of all others. Thank you for the gift of this city council, our mayor, and the city staff represented here tonight. Thank you for our beautiful city of independence and the freedoms that we so graciously enjoy. Lord, you are our sustenance that fills us, the light that surrounds us, and the love that never fails us. In the precious and holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Pastor Thomas, thank you very much. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Audience participation, we have Jeff Blumenthal. I'm sorry, yeah. Jeff.
Can I ask Pam to go first because she has another engagement?
Oh, Pam Dingler.
Good evening, Mayor, Finance Director, and members of City Council. My name is Pamela Dingler, and I am a 44-year resident of Independence, of which the last 27 years I have lived at 7714 Stone Road. I wish to address the Council and the Administration regarding Ordinance 2022-161, passed on November 15th for the agreement to purchase approximately 18 acres of property from Concordia Lutheran Church. First, let me state a few things upon which we can agree upon. Independence is a great place to live. If it wasn't, I wouldn't have hung around for 44 years. I concur with the mayor who stated in the November 15th caucus meeting, if we will build it, people will buy it because they would like to live in Independence. It is what the mayor wants to build, where he wants to build, why he wants to build, and how he wants to build is where my agreement with Independence officials start to diverge. The mayor has stated he has a vision of developing an area in the city where the term now being used, empty nesters, can in theory downsize from their current Independence dwelling. His stated vision does include small single-family dwelling. However, the mayor will not outline or define the term small, nor will he put out a number of dwellings he has a feeling of could or should be built. Little homeowner exterior maintenance. This means having a homeowners association, which mayor will also not have to put an estimate on what it might cost a homeowner. Price. The mayor's statement in the November 15th caucus meeting was, quote, at least meaning $300,000. This is not for everyone, especially with the price points today. It's gone up 30% in the last year, end quote. I'm pleased to know that last Friday, a group of council people and city officials decided to actually take a hike of the property, which I was on record of urging council to do. I hope that some of you now have a better appreciation and understanding of the topography of land you are intending to purchase. With this new knowledge, I hope you now realize there is a significant portion of these 18 acres that is not viable or practical to build on. I am also appreciative of the fact that Mayor Kurtz has backed away from the concept of an eminent domain land grab that would have affected my neighbors to the west of me. What I am concerned about is the lack of transparency in bringing this resolution to the table. Mayor Kurtz and some council members state that there has been talk about this property purchase for years. However, it is quite different scenario. to bring to council on a first reading in a council workshop, not even a regular council meeting, a presentation to spend $485,000 for land purchase with no plan, just a vision. Reasonable questions were asked and were evaded. Why the quiet secrecy and why is the urgent rush? And yet, this ordinance was passed. I want to thank Councilman Tagliati, Trakis, and Roberica for having the common sense and fortitude to cast dissenting votes. They showed concern and asked valid questions that were brushed aside with people saying, we will address that later. Second is concern of the site itself.
Pam, how much longer? We can read it into the record. We have a three, council rules limit the conversation to 3 minutes, so keep that in mind.
Second concern is the site itself. This area is a wonderful wooded acreage with a large amount of mature hardwood trees. It is geologically intriguing with steep slopes, very dense sandstone, beautiful to look at in height, not necessarily a developer's delight. If high density buildings planned, there's going to be a serious issue of water runoff. I would hope that the city engineer gets a solid estimate, or the city council gets a solid estimate from the city engineer as to how much acreage is truly developable and have a high level view of what kind of runoff management will be necessary. At the October 26th meeting of the Independence Tree Commission, the committee outlined a target of increasing the existing tree plan in the city by 12%. The commission also listed as a priority to update and or develop conservation easements within the city to help preserve our existing forest area. Turfing the trees on the Concordia property will take Independence, known as a tree city, a step farther away from meeting those goals and objectives. I hope that council will examine the EPA Phase 1 report that the engineer has ordered. Does it really dive into the complexities of the site, or is it a cliff note version that will satisfy the mayor's objective of due diligence? Please listen with an open mind and empathy to the comments and concerns that residents will present this Thursday at the town hall meeting. I believe that there is a need of housing product for an empty nester within our city limits. However, I do not believe that the Concordia Church property is the best land option for that concept. It is council's challenge and responsibility to make the correct decision that sometimes property should just be left alone. I hope each of you have a wonderful Christmas. My wish for all of you is that Santa might leave a little brown bat or a common oak fern, both on the endangered species list, in your stocking so that all this conversation becomes a new point. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Just for clarification, there is a 3 minute limitation for speakers, but with all due respect, we can put it in the reading in the future, we can do that. So, okay? Mr. Blumenthal.
I'm Jeff Blumenthal, a 43 year resident of Independence, living at 7426 Stone Road. I feel fortunate to live in Independence. We have great city services, recreation facilities, and low taxes. But since November 7th, the meeting with Mayor Kurtz that was held for select Stone Road and Public Square residents about the purchase of Concordia Church property for a housing development, I have felt disenfranchised, disrespected, and manipulated by the mayor's actions. I believe many others feel the same. With almost no advance notice, a special council workshop was held on November 15th for the first reading of an ordinance to purchase property from Concordia Church. That first reading turned into an emergency vote, as the mayor stated it had to be, quote, this week. During that meeting, the mayor also said, quote, we would have to get 170 feet from three property owners adjacent to Concordia Church property, comma, no houses. We wouldn't take anybody's houses, end quote. Does that hint at eminent domain? 23 days later, after citizens had organized to protect their properties, the mayor wrote a letter stating the city will not use eminent domain. The letter stated, quote, considerable amount of misinformation has been pushed out into the community through social media and other platforms. One such example includes eminent domain, end quote. I feel the misinformation was spread not by the affected citizens, but by the mayor himself. I am not against the city's purchase of the Concordia Church property. I am against cutting down 18 acres of mature wooded property, much of which cannot be built on, for a development the city could put on the north side of Stowe Road without having to cut down trees, without having to affect residents' properties, and the city already owns the land. I'm distraught by the process the mayor has used. He has promised transparency, the definition of which includes words like clear, explicit, obvious, and unambiguous. I feel the communications we've received have been anything but. I hope this process moves forward with true transparency and the city leadership will listen and respond to the voice of the majority. Thank you.
Thank you. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting of council of November 8th, 2022, the Utilities and Sewers Committee meeting of November 3rd, 2022, the Safety Committee meeting of November 7th, 2022, the Council Workshop of November 15th, 2022, the Council Workshop of November 22nd, 2022, the Council Workshop of November 29th, 2022.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? And they are all adopted. Different reports will be submitted. And let's see, legislation. We have ordinance 2022-152.
Title only. Second.
An ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into an agreement with the International Association of Firefighters Local 2375. FLCIO 2022-2024.
Motion to adopt.
Second. Any questions on the adoption? Call a roll.
DeGeronimo?
Yes.
Grindel?
Yes.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Tagliati?
Yes.
Trakas?
Aye.
Waverka?
Yes.
Well, Chandler?
Yes. And it's adopted. We have ordinance 2022-158 that's been removed from the agenda, so I need approval of the consent agenda items will be read individually into the record. And the consent agenda will then be voted on as a whole by one motion and roll call. There will be no separate discussions on these items. Can I have a motion to read the consent agenda by title only?
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Ordinance 2022-162, an ordinance authorizing the retention of James G. Zupka, CPA, DBA Zupka and Associates to serve as the city's independent public accountant to perform the audits of the city for fiscal years 2022 through 2026. Ordinance 2022-163, an ordinance authorizing the renewal of the contract with Quartz Petroleum Company, Inc. for the purchase and delivery of unleaded fuel and diesel fuel for the city vehicles through the Joint Municipal Improvement Consortium. Ordinance 2022-164, an ordinance authorizing change order number one to the city's 2022 Creek Utility and Infrastructure Maintenance and Repairs contract with Geotech Services, Inc. Ordinance 2022-168, an ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into an agreement with Fraternal Order of Police Lodge number 67 Patrol Officers Unit. Ordinance 2022-169, an ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into an agreement with Fraternal Order of Police Lodge number 67, Supervisors Unit. Resolution 2022-26, a resolution amending resolution 2022-13 relative to extraordinary legal services commencing January 2nd, 2022. Resolution 2022-27, a resolution authorizing Daniel Anders to retain possession of his firearm and badge of office upon retirement.
Motion to suspend. Second.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Wait. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Now, motion to adopt.
Second.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Any questions on the adoption? Call the roll.
Chicharano?
Yes.
Grandal?
Yes.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Togliatti?
Yes.
Tracus?
Aye.
Laverca?
Yes.
Walt Chamberlain?
Yes. And we have ordinance, and the consent agenda is adopted. We have ordinance 2022-167.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
An ordinance amending section 1181.06, schedule of required off-street parking of the codified ordinances of the City of Independence relating to off-street parking and loading requirements.
And that'll remain on first reading. And the public hearing will be set for 5 o'clock on January 10th. That's 5 o'clock on January 10th. We have a request for a liquor permit transfer from Jackie's and Main Street in first floor of Miller City, Ohio, to STM Petroleum Inc., Independence, or 7099 Brecksville Road, Independence, Ohio. I believe that when we approved the request for transfer initially, it was for beer only. That would be a C1. The request before council is a C2. And so I believe we should inquire as to the change, and I would recommend the council, if we have to have a public hearing on this to further understand the proposed change, we should do so.
What is a C2?
A C2 would allow for beer and
wine.
Special alcoholic beverages.
The C2 permit is the one that allows for wine, carry out for wine, and low-proof alcohol.
This is right across the Sunoco, right?
This is Sunoco,
the,
yeah.
Beverage store.
Do you need a motion, sir?
Yeah. You need a motion. If you're, there's a time period.
Yeah.
There's a time period associated with this, so I don't know what council's thinking as far as a hearing, but if you want to...
We would have to request a hearing through the
Ohio Department. That would request a hearing through the Liquor Commission.
Yes.
Sure, it's up to council. If you want me to inquire as to if there's additional information that we need in order to... I guess the question is, they changed the request that was approved and never submitted any of the paperwork necessary for us to be engaged or to make it a decision, so.
I agree with you. I think we should ask for that hearing, and they'll understand the procedures a little bit more once they go through that hearing.
I believe all the other gas stations in town have this identical liquor permit that they're requesting.
Liquor, the beer and wine, and additional beverages.
So I'm not seeing a problem with it.
Yeah, it's probably the same permit that Convenient has, and then the liquor store obviously has an even more powerful permit.
Shell Station's got the C2 there as well. That's
They have C2s? All of them have C2s? Then I don't know if we really have an argument to sustain it.
We haven't received the property. So this required a Trex permit, and when they filled out the paperwork in January, it was for the C1 permit, and we were never notified of the C2 permit.
So so we should really inquire as to the procedure that they failed to comply with, and ask for at least a better understanding, have them supply the proper paperwork. At that point, if there's any issues, we can talk to council, poll council, and see if there's a problem. If there's a paper, we'll look at the paperwork, see if it's compliant.
Sure, they're going to request some legislative action, so you're going to have to a motion to request a hearing. It's been a few years since I did one, but if we can get the information in advance, we could always withdraw the.
So maybe if there's no objection, contingent upon us receiving the proper paperwork or understanding, that's acceptable, and we can send it out to council, so we won't formally object at this point. Is that fair?
Go with yes. Path yes. They should at least submit the proper paperwork, yeah. So we can examine it.
So let's do this. Let's make them aware of the deficiency in their application, and also make sure the building commissioner goes out and confirms the status of their upgrade that was proposed as part of their approval.
Also, Jessica, is there another quadrant that has this many of those types of permits in town?
It's common to have a C1 and a C2 permit. I did not look to see what establishments have both. I can pull together a list and share it with council.
It might help a little bit just to kind of, it's a little bit more residential. Now we're talking about Rockside Road, and it's a more residential neighborhood, and just there could be some questions there, so it'd be good to have the information.
Sure, I'll pull together and send it, share it with council.
And if there's a majority that wanted to pursue it, then we'll do that. Is that fair? Okay, if not, we'll just get the paperwork in order. Make sure that they follow the rules.
We need to do something by December 19th.
Well, if there's...
By December 19th.
Yeah, if let's put it this way, if they, you can talk to them, and if there's a problem, then we can, I think council's authorizing us to have some flexibility. If that's not the case, let me know.
I can reach out to their attorney.
So if in fact they can't be in compliance, then we'll file. If not, then we'll just let it go. Is that fair? Majority of council agree with that? Okay. And that's what we'll do. We have our marching orders.
Thank you.
Thank you. With that, I want to just one more thing. I think adjourn the council meeting. And then, is that what you want to do? Okay. Is there anything else that before this honorable body?
Mayor, I had some residents ask if the town hall meeting on Thursday will be via Zoom. There's residents that are still concerned about the spread.
It wasn't intended to be a Zoom, but if we can accommodate, if it makes some sense. This is, like was stated earlier, there's not really a lot of information to share at this time. It's more absorbing what they have to say. So if they have information they want to share, they can submit it, they can let me know, and we'll compile it. We'll compile the information. With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? This meeting of council is adjourned. I want to thank the residents for attending. I also want to thank and wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.